Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Okay, so in the studio, we have Dixon Jones, or to some of us, Sir Dixon Jones.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you, but no, well, I'm a long way off that.
Well, you were OBE, is that correct?
No. I did go to Buckingham Palace a couple of times in my Majestic days. So Majestic got an award it's called the Queen's Award. So we went to Buckingham Palace and had champagne with the Queen.
So I don't have to call you sir. I just have to,
no,
you know,
in
recognize
fact, you would it. Be you. Yeah, we'd have to cut your head off if you call me sir. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we're still that strict in the Commonwealth. Americans have no clue what we go through up here. Okay, we have in the studio with us Dixon Jones, the creator of not one, not two, but 3 major tools in the SEO, SEM industries. The latest is the AI, it's an action-packed tool. It's almost like a Swiss Army knife. So it's like an indicator, a reader, a follower, and tracker called Wake, but his previous yes. two, InLinks and Majestic. Anyone who's
I think it's fair to say I'm not the programmer of any of these. You know, I'm the marketing. My only success in life is make sure your developer has more shares than you do. There are other brains around the ideas. Yes, I've been the front of these things, but I don't want to take all the credit. Or pretend to take all the credit.
Well, how would you? I mean, you're often credited as being the founder or the brains behind. How would you characterize your role in all 3 companies, but especially in Wake?
So in Majestic, I was the marketing director. So I was one of the sort of co-founders in the limited company, really. I would say I was more of a minority player. I was the face of Majestic and everyone thought that it was, you know, all my business. I was on the board and part of a big part, I would like to say, of the development of it. With InLinks and Wake, I'm the CEO. So, you know, I have a much more significant influence on the state of the organization. I'm also put money, physical money into InLinks. Wake is part of InLinks, so it's two separate products in the same limited company. So yes, I think it's fair for me to say, yeah, I'm spearheading InLinks and Wake. I think I would get a slap on the wrist from the guys at Majestic if I pretended that it was all me.
Instrumental in the marketing.
I don't want to, you know, I get on really well with the guys and I'm still very much involved in Majestic in sort of helping to organize network meetings and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm not going to pretend that I was the only founder.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Why Wake? Well, first off, what is Wake and what does Wake mean?
It's great, isn't it? So it's you can't spell it, you can't pronounce it, and we don't even own the .com. And there's reasons for all of that, because the very first thing that you have to say after what is Wake is it stands for what AI knows about you, at which point I've done the elevator pitch, right? So that was well thought through. We did also buy AIscanner.net, and we were going to call it AI Scanner. We found that extremely generic in concept. And we also, when we were actually building the tool, we were finding that any brand that was using generic words like AI and scanner in its branding was much more prone to hallucinations. So if you've got, books.com, it's going to be much more likely that the LLMs get things wrong about you. So, a Monday meeting, we were arguing about what we should call ourselves and what the brand should be. And then someone said, "Well, why don't we just call it what it is? What AI knows about you?" And we went, "Yeah, well, yes, all right." So that's how Wakey came about.
Okay, in the 60-second elevator pitch, how do you explain Wakey?
So, well, it is what AI knows about you, but it runs from a different basis to all the other AI tracking tools. Most of the AI tracking tools out there are exactly that. They're tracking tools. You put in a prompt and it will track what comes out the answer. That's not what SEOs do, is it? I mean, that's kind of like rank checking, for AI. And rank checking was always a bit dodgy anyway. I mean, because you had to guess the right keywords and stuff like that. That's not what its prime focus is. It does do that because we've got to have this sort of hygiene elements of what the other tools have got. But its focus is giving you a action plan of what to do next to become more visible and more accurately visible in the LLMs for any given topic. So for Inlinks itself, for example, it's an entity SEO tool. We would like it. And if you go to Google and type in entity SEO tool, great. It comes up. It's there. It's on top of the list, or hopefully it's top of the list. If you went to ChatGPT, or Claude or Gemini and say, "What is the best entity SEO tool?" you would therefore expect Inlinks to come at the top. And we found it wasn't, so that's a very good example of saying, right, what is what we need Inlinks to be better understood around the concept of entities. So we can put in the topic of entities and we can say, "What do you know about Inlinks in the context of entities?" And it'll come back with all that information. And what we do is we build a knowledge graph of the output from the LLM prompts. We map it to the knowledge graph of the content on the website, and we say, and we map it to the content of the competitors' prompts and websites. And we'll sit there and say, "You know what? Well, in this particular case, it turned out we had to write more about local entity SEO." And what had happened in this particular case is Yext, of all people, had really kind of focused on entities in the context of local SEO. They moved the whole conversation in the eyes of ChatGPT. So we wrote two really good pieces on local entity SEO on our own site. It changed the dial, and now we do very well within the LLMs for, what is the best local entity SEO tool. So it's not something we would have noticed if we hadn't used the tool. We wouldn't have realized that we were underrepresented in local SEO. It just wasn't on our radar as a th even though Inlinks as a tool has a local SEO technology within it. But so you can apply that to any industry, any idea. We've got one coming out, I think, on sort of a sort of a proposed idea for sort of L'Oreal with the mascara coming out on iPool ranking a little bit, where it's kind of like saying, these are the things that L'Oreal needs to do differently if it wants to become more representative, have a larger share of model, which is kind of the phraseology that we seem to be using. When people start asking about mascara, who are they going to recommend? Is it going to be Max Factor, or is it going to be L'Oreal, or is it going to be Clinique, or whatever it may be? And the game is to try and get your brand more mentioned in those results. What I think the other tools do, sorry, I can shut up if you like and let you talk. What I think the other tools do is they try and track clicks from these results, or how high up, or whether your website is listed as a cited resource, and all of those things. We do all of that, but I don't think that's important. I think what's important is the LLM's actual response has to sell your product for you. And if it's not doing that, it doesn't matter whether they're going to click on your website or not. It's got to sell it in the actual words that they say in their response.
One of the things I found most useful about the Wakei tool, I'm gonna go with Wakei instead of Wakei
We go Wake Hey because it's kind of alliterative, but you go where you want.
One of the things I found most useful is the citation tracking tool. So it tells Wakei can tell you where a citation or where a block of text in the LLMs was the source material, the page that it originally found on. And then it has a whole list of questions. This is what the LLMs for LLMs, Claude, ChatGPT, Gemini, and Anthropic know
Yeah, they're
about
not
you.
questions, they're facts.
Oh, facts.
Facts.
That's yeah, facts. And it po you pose them almost like in the way of questions. Is this true? Is this not true?
So what we do is we break the responses down into one sentence facts, so that it becomes very easy for the human to check for hallucinations.
So when the hallucination's found, one of the ways I've been selling use of the Wakei tool is I know where the hallucination or where the misfact has been found. It's being apparently being quoted over and over again. While we can't guarantee that the LLMs will actually understand we've made this change, it stands to reason if we go back to the original source, make the change, then over time the LLMs will correct themselves. Is that your assumption as well?
That's the theory. I mean, if they've got something wrong in the facts, then they should have cited the source that they got that information from. That's not guaranteed. Of course, some of the engines are better at citing sources than others. But essentially, if there's a prompt come back and then we list all of the sources that have been cited, the problem is likely to have come from one of those pages. So one of the things that we found for ourselves, for example, is that somebody had done a review of our product and they'd included a feature that we actually don't do. And it said that we did do it. Now, we could have just left that, but in our experience, telling an LLM something that isn't true doesn't work for very long. It's going to really mess your brand up. So we went back to the guy that did the review, and it was so much easier than getting a link from them. Telling them that there was a factual error on the website changed just like that. It just happened to change. So it's a much better process than link building. You don't need to ask for links. You just need to make sure that people are factually correct. And if they're not factually correct, they seem to be more willing to change it. Of course, if it's a problem on your own website, then A, you shouldn't have had it anyway, but B, change it.
Okay, so I'm looking at my copy of Wakei, and just for the listeners, so you know, via LinkedIn, Dixon contacted me about 6 weeks ago and said, "Hey, throw your email address in, I'll give you a free version." I actually tried to do that and somehow screwed up and ended up buying a paid version along the way, and I'm really glad I
Oh,
did.
thanks, Jim.
Oh yeah, hey, no worries, man. Thanks for the tip off. And I didn't get back to him right away. Normally, I get back to the. I would get back to you immediately and let's schedule an interview. But I want to use the tool for a little while, get through it, get used to it, really understand the environment. And so I'm looking at one of my clients. I'm not going to mention the name of the clients, but I'm looking at their screen. And first screen, brand overview or website overview tells me I'm ahead of the competition in again Sonar, which is Perplexity, ChatGPT, Gemini or Google, and Claude or Anthropic. I'm ahead of my competition. What does that mean?
What does that mean? Okay, so on the brand overview reports, what we did to get there, so for the listeners, in order to set up a project, you need to apply exactly two competitors. So you've got to put in your own website and two competing brands' websites. And it builds a knowledge graph of your own website and of your two competitors' websites. And so when it says, and then it says, what do you know about this website? And that we just go and ask that question for five LLMs, well, two on Google and four others, and then for two competitors as well. So 15 lookups, and we say, what do you know about your brand? What do you know about this competitor? What do you know about this competitor? And let the LLM just regurgitate as it does, come out with all of their stuff. But what we can do with that stuff is we can also build a knowledge graph of that response. So now we have two knowledge graphs, which in a perfect world would be exactly the same, because what you think your brand is about on your website and what the LLM thinks your brand is about should be exactly the same topics. Of course, it isn't. But the question is the LLM properly representing your brand in the system. So the number between 0 and 100 that comes out is trying to show you how accurately the LLM has represented your brand. And so those numbers combined then are saying your numbers are higher than your competitors. So currently you're better understood or more accurately understood than your competitors as of today's date. But those reports can then be repeated weekly, monthly, daily, whatever it may be, if you want to, and you can start to build up a picture over time, because the real value, I think, comes into the topic reports and the action plans in the topic reports, which tells you what to do to get better. That's not in the brand overview report, but if you've got a topic report there, then click on the action plan button, and that's where the magic happens. Sorry,
In fact,
listeners, Jim's
no, in
doing
fact,
that
I
now.
do have a topic report here, and they do have action plans. I'm not gonna, again, there's a there's only so much I can go into looking at a client's reports and stuff.
Of course, but it's insightful. It should be insightful. The action plan report really goes into it's do you remember the audit SEO audit days where people, we used to do 100-page audits for clients and we gave it to them and they never did anything, and 6 months later we'd say, well, that's your fault, you didn't apply anything and stuff. That's more fool us, I suppose. But the reports these days that we're generating are literally, when it comes to the recommendations in the report, it's six sentences. And it's like, do this, do this, do this, do this, and things will happen. And we find these really interesting, because we're finding that the clients can read those recommendations and go, that's a good idea. And you just see the client's eyes light up most of the time. And so that's kind of the winning formula, really, for Wayke, and why it's not like the other AI tracking tools.
Yeah,
It's proactive.
to give listeners a just a really quick visual mental picture. My reports screen shows a number of topics that are either represented or underrepresented on my clients' pages, and gives me suggestions on, I don't want to say keywords exactly, because they're not keywords. They're more like ideas,
Topics.
entities, topics that we should write on more and flesh out more information on. Assumably, this is what Gemini or Claude or ChatGPT is underfed in these areas.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I just did a demo with somebody on Adidas as an example. So, Adidas and Nike and Reebok seems to be a quite a popular thing in my demos at the moment. I mean, I let the customer guide me. But we looked at Adidas, and then we looked at the topic of marathons, with the theory being that Adidas wants to improve their market share in the marathon market, and what the report comes out with in that particular case is, well, what you haven't got is, you've got an app. That's great, but your app doesn't have anything tailored to marathon runners, or so that that sort of thing, that kind of level of detail comes out. So talk about how you can use the app for marathon training, or talk about the carbon fiber. Apparently, they got some carbon fiber things that are good for marathon training or something like that. But they weren't really sort of talking about that. And so talking about the structure of having a section on marathon planning, and a map, a diary of all the marathons in the world. These are things that will get a marathon runner buying into Adidas, not just once, but for a lifetime.
Now, this is interesting. By the way, for the North American ear, Adidas is Adidas.
Oh, sorry.
No worries, no worries. But the interesting thing I found here is Adidas is one of the largest footwear corporations in the world. They've done ample market research. They understand their audience. They understand how their customers and how their customers use their product. And they were missing this big section on their website that they could have been writing about, but hadn't. And they're missing a large and growing market. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I mean, in that in that example, we chose the active decision to say we want to push ourselves more into the marathon market. You know, so a human in the loop decided marathons are where we're going to go next. You know, they could have gone for tennis, or they could, but that was an active decision. At which point, we have to understand, or we have to look at as SEOs, our job is to learn what's changed. I mean, it's all very well to say SEO is exactly the same with AI and stuff, but the truth of the matter is that when you think about the user journey, the user is no longer having to come to your website at all, particularly with Adidas. You know, what they're doing is they're starting with their research and saying, I want to do some the London Marathon. What kind of trainers should I wear? That's the kind of thing they're asking the ChatGPT. They're not going to bother necessarily going to Nike or Reebok or whatever. What they're going to get back is here is a bunch of brands. These ones are good for this kind of thing. This one's good if you're, if you're a woman. This one's good if you're doing, if you're in New York or in a hot temperature or whatever it may be. And then you'll dive in and carry on asking the LLM. The LLM is going to go off and do the research on those websites. So now your content on your website has to communicate as much and soon even more to the LLM interpreting it, so that the LLM can take it back and compare it with the other competitors and digest that information for the user. At the end of their research, the user's not going to click on any of those sites' sources. They're going to go and buy Adidas or Nike. That's all they're going to do. They're going to go straight from there to the shop and buy their shoes. So the idea of tracking and saying, I want to get more traffic from.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
LLMs is absurd. You actually want to get less traffic from LLMs. You want to get more share of model. You want to get more mind share from the responses that the LLMs give. And in order to do that, you've got to make sure your content is well understood by the LLMs and covers everything that the competitor is that the user is going to want. That's so it, really.
When we
there ain't no traffic.
So you're suggesting that a lot of the that a lot of what was previously e-commerce is going to get converted in the shops again. People are going to go to the stores rather than purchase online.
Well,
for certain name brands.
I mean, not necessarily, but I, so the example I've been citing on, you know, talks and things is this, that this behind me, there's this big gaming computer behind me now. And I've got that specifically because I wanted to buy a computer that was powerful enough to download LLM local, an LLM or more, one or more local LLMs locally onto a machine to run them on my own machine. So I wasn't hampered by GDPR and sending information off to third parties, potentially confidential information. I wanted to be able to analyze it locally. And I needed a computer that could do that. I have no idea about what kind of spec that has to be. Perfect question for asking ChatGPT or Gemini. So I asked them, you know, what's the perfect spec for a machine that will do this? It comes out with apparently I need a big GPU. I mean, you know, okay, oh, mine's bigger than yours. I needed all these bits and pieces. Comes out with an ideal spec. The next thing I do is use a different LLM to say, right, can you go and find the one on Amazon that's closest to that? Now I could have done that. What's the closest one on Walmart or whatever, you know, or I could have chosen anywhere where I want to buy my PC, but I want the one that's got that particular spec. So I got the spec. I got saw one on there. I then checked the spec in another LLM as a guardrail in case it had gone wrong, because I still didn't know it was going to be an expensive purchase. And then I bought the machine on Amazon. It was only after I bought the machine that I realized I had not gone to the website. I did not know the brand. The brand is called Ginger 6, by the way. I mean, not exactly HP. The Amazon site didn't even have any reviews. No one had bought that spec, or no one had done a review on that spec, because it was such an unusual spec. So, of all the normal sort of EEAT kind of things, authority and trust and trusting reviews and all that, they'd all gone out the window. I'd assume that that had all been sorted by the LLMs, perhaps naively. Anyway, it runs the LLMs fine, so it was great. And it's done the job. But I didn't click on the website. I didn't know the brand. I bought entirely on the spec from the LLM, working out the underlying method spec that I needed. And I think that's just going to happen more and more. So yeah, you could still buy online, but you know, the decision is made largely at the text in that prompt output. You know, they're creating tables for us and stuff. That's very useful, very useful.
I asked that question in that way because I think a lot of SEOs are really concerned about conversion metrics, about success metrics. What do our clients consider a success? And many of us represent online stores, stores that don't necessarily have brick and mortar equivalents. And so there's a great, I mean, obviously there's a great worry. We can't drive traffic directly back to our client sites, and our clients probably don't need us so much anymore. You told an interesting, almost counterintuitive story, though, where a non-brand manufacturer managed to slip their information into the LLM stream, or at least into the generative response that you received, and you got their product. Having researched the specs and making sure that the output from one LLM checked out on one or two others.
Because what I did in that example is I was brand agnostic. I was looking for a spec. That's what I needed. And I needed something that was going to do some very unusual things for most people. You know, most people don't have to have, you know, Llama on them on their computer. So that spec had now made a ideal thing that not very many people probably make. You know, there's not very many people that will plug that GPU into that kind of motherboard and that kind of thing. You know, I'm sure Nvidia will tell you plenty of people that do this. But I had now defined exactly what I wanted, and there were very few of these things in the world, you know, because I'd thought about the product first. The tech first, rather than the brand that it's associated with. And so yeah, it slipped in. They got in there. I think that's the win for small brands. If you properly define who you truly are, what makes you unique, and where you do stand out, then that's where you'll get your business. If customer service is a thing, if we're going to deliver it with a smile and a kiss, then fine. You know, as long as people want it with a smile and a kiss, that's what you deliver. You know, be different, but be clear about that difference. And ChatGPT will get there.
I got a couple more questions. We're definitely pushing boundaries of time here, but what about publishers? The helpful content update starting in like, you know, September 2023, just took the rug out from a lot of web businesses that were, you know, basically small to medium sized publishers that had, you know, sprouted up in the last 10 to 15 years. Moving forward in the LLM-based response world, is there a lot of hope for these folks if they can define themselves and their offerings better?
It's hard for publishers. Let's not deny it. I think it's going to be a difficult sell for them. what I would be doing if I was in that world full time. You know, I have, for example, so I've published a book. You can't get the book unless you buy it. Well, actually, you can. I've got it on a free PDF now. But if you're selling a book, you're still selling a book. It's, you can turn your publishing into a hard copy. People still want hard copy books. So if you can turn your content into something that's behind a paywall, then I think that's where your win has to be. You've got to actually have content that's good enough for people to pay for. And so that could be courses. That could be books, stories that you have to buy the book for. It could be that, you know, chapter one is free, and then chapters you know, 2 to 10, you've got to go and pay for. But I think they need to move towards a monetized model that's much more directly based around charging for the content. There is, of course, also this thing that Cloudflare are doing, which is starting a bidding platform, which I don't know if it's going to work, where you allow, as a publisher, that Cloudflare will block anything that any LLM that tries to take that look at that content, unless that LLM pays you 3 cents a page, or whatever your number is, you know. So it'll be interesting to see whether that gets traction. I think that publishers should probably try it if they want to stay with the I want to put everything on my website and only humans that come to my website so I can get advertising revenue. You know, they're going to have to use that kind of model. But I don't think that'll win the day. I think that's as much marketing hype as anything for Cloudflare. But I might be entirely wrong there. It may be a savior for publishers. For me, I would go for monetizing my content.
You know, I'd imagine every other content delivery network out there also has to adopt Cloudflare's policies, and it would have to be United Front if that's going to succeed in the long run. And also, I mean, I'm worried about opting out of LLMs from my clients on Cloudflare. I'm terrified about that. I can't see
good
many circumstances under which I would close them off. Unless specifically ordered to, which I would advise against.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to hire an SEO, then probably SEO 101 is make sure the crawlers can crawl with the content.
as much as technically possible, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, yeah. A couple more questions I kind of wanted to get at early, but, you know, the conversations always take fun trails. You have a front row seat in, I guess, the efficacy of LLMs and how they understand content and understand the web. How hallucinations is probably the greatest concern about LLM output. How often do they hallucinate?
It's got a lot better in the last 6 months. So when we launched Wakay back in March, there was hallucinations left, right, and center, and I'm definitely seeing less of them now. Maybe I'm not looking so much. I know that the product works and stuff, but I think they have got better. But there's a real tendency for it depends on what is being asked. You know, when we're looking at it from a brand lens, but I think they still will make fundamental errors when you start to ask sort of generic questions, but they are improving. But in a brand sense, the real problem is when you're using generic names in your brand. So I think Walmart is much safer than DIY.com. You know, so DIY.com is a generic, DIY being a generic term, you know, if your brand is DIY, then that becomes a challenge. So I think, so Majestic, for example, has a challenge because Majestic as a word can be related to theaters. It can be related to restaurants. It can be related to, you know, the search engine. So, you know, so there's much more likelihood for an LLM to go wrong. What I think has happened over the last 6 months is that because they're all really using RAG now, and sort of search lookups, they're honing in, and and less likely to get something wrong because they're using a search engine to back up the results. But that's a failing in itself of an LLM, isn't it? You know, if it needs a search engine, an old school search engine to correct itself, then, or to get up to date information, then that's a challenge. But they're consistently working and improving. The hallucinations are getting less. They still have trouble telling you how many bees are in Babbage or something, you know.
In the next week or two, we're going to start encountering stories about the burst of the AI bubble. Definite fears from investors and from businesses and consumers that this
Which is a pity because no one actually gave me any money. So, you know, but then again, yeah.
Is there an AI bubble? AI is being added to everything often, more as a marketing ploy than an actual useful feature. Is there a bubble, and is that bubble going to burst? And does that worry you?
Yes, there is a bubble. Yes, it will burst, but it's not something that we haven't seen before, especially you and me. You know, going back to the internet bubble in its early days, I remember, I don't know if you remember a boo.com, boo.com.
The fashion.
And for me, in the UK anyway, when boo.com went bankrupt, that was the sign of the bubble bursting. You know, so it was they were a fashion brand, and they were relatively high tech in that they were using a flash website. Obviously, a disaster for SEO, but at the time, when they went bust, a lot of things just went bust at pretty much the same time, because they were building out all of these things and not actually looking at the bottom line of profit. What I think was interesting about the dot-com bubble when it burst, I was making a living at the time running murder mystery evenings online, so I was basically selling my own murder mysteries. So talking about publishers and content, I was selling my content back then. I, you know, you couldn't get my murder mystery unless you paid $30 for the murder mystery. So so when it went bust, when the bubble went bust, it didn't stop the internet, did it? That carried on going fine. I hadn't borrowed lots of money. My business carried on fine. I, you know, it didn't affect me because I was already profitable, and I had a positive cash flow. What will happen is that there will be people that have built technologies based on some of the LLMs that will not succeed. Presumably, you can't have all of those different LLM systems succeeding, and some will fail, and as a knock-on effect, some of those technologies will fail. But it's not very difficult for those technologies to move over to a different LLM provider. The API system is so much more advanced than it was before that we can just swap out DeepSeek for Llama 3.2 or whatever it may be. So I think that the bubble will burst. I think that for most of us, we'll just move on to a different LLM. And eventually, like Google, one will win that battle. I'm hoping that it takes a while for one to win the battle, because it was so much more fun back in 2000 when we were doing SEO for Lycos and AltaVista and InfoSeek and all these other different pieces and all these different tools. But we've decided in Wakay to just track 5 models instead of 50 models, because we think there's going to be such a fallout very quickly that tracking 50 models will end up having to pay for API calls to 50 models. That's just wasted money. So we're just going with the biggies.
Okay, so we got to get out of here. I've kept you up for almost an hour in real time, 45 minutes in interview time. How do people engage with Wakay? Is there an introductory offer for them? And
there is. There's a free, they can try for free. So it's a bit hard to find on the homepage of the website, but if you go to Wakay, so Wakay is WAIKAY, what AI knows about you, .io/free, and you can sign up for a free account there. That'll give you 3 credits, which will give you enough to build a brand report, a topic report, and an action plan, and C1 prompt, you know. So it gets you off the ground and running. You'll be able to see the product and decide whether you want to run with it. But the paid plans right now, we still have an early adopter pricing on there. So on the homepage, you can see a pricing that's $20, which will give you enough to run your website, you know, a small person's brand would work fine on $20 a month. Which is a fraction of what the competitors are charging. You know, most of the competitors are coming in, well, you know, most of them are coming in $199 upwards, really. But, you know, so getting in at $20 is great. You may have to find, as you use it, you're going to have to buy more credits or move up. But we do have this policy of making it easy for small consultants, smaller businesses to use all of the features and just pay as you go, you know. So the $20 may not be the last thing you do, but at least you can just buy credits instead of upping your plan.
You know, I got one last question. AIs tend to work on credits. Is the monthly subscription plan over? Like in the long run, like for people thinking of building tools in the future, is monthly subscription over, and is it things going to be built on credits in the future?
I don't know. I mean, we definitely went different with Wayke than we did with Inlinks. I mean, one of the reasons we broke into a different, completely different product is because the pricing wasn't going to work. We had to charge on credits, and Inlinks is based on how many pages you put in the system. So it just made more sense to have one small subscription, and then yes, you can have a larger subscriptions and add-ons and things. So basically, after that, pay as you go, seems like a logical model to go with. It depends where you are in the world, I think. I think a larger organization would prefer to have a just give me one price and I know where I am with it, and it's, you know, it's happening every month or whatever, or pay a year in advance or whatever it's going to be. I think that as people get more sensitive to money, and I think they are at the moment, then yeah, this ability to go up and go down based on how much customers you've got, you know, that month, or how much demand you've got for it that month, I think that's fair and reasonable. And the SaaS model tried to get people out of that, but it's going to come back to it. Yeah, eventually everything does get productized. So, you know.
See, this is one of the neat things about talking to you. Tangents happen and they're fun.
I'm so sorry. I should
No, that's my fault. I asked you the question, I asked you the question, but you sort of put that signpost up there, and it was just too tempting not to take.
You're going to have to edit this right down.
Again, that's a function of studio. Dixon Jones, CEO of Wayke. Are you still CEO of Inlinks as well?
Yes, yeah. Oops. Same limited organization. I should probably, if it can grow a little bit, I should probably make sure that we got a head of each department and start to do that. But, you know, if you can just get your customers to all of your listeners to come and buy $20 each, then, you know, maybe we can get there.
Well, everybody, do Dixon a favor. Help him departmentalize his companies.
That'd be great.
Jump in right now, wayk.io. Dixon Jones, thank you so much for your time today on Webcology.
Jim, thanks.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.